Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, you probably figured this out. I don't need to spout off a bunch of statistics for you, but we're going to talk about becoming kind of a slave to the screens in our lives. So that we've got this whole major problem in life that's addiction to our screens, be it an iPhone, an iPad, the TV, video games, whatever, maybe the back of your mom or your dad's seat in the car. It doesn't matter whether you're in the car, short trip, long trip, could be a trip around the corner to the grocery store, or perhaps around the dinner table even, or in the family room, or in the dining room, certainly in the schoolhouse, and even in the church house, you see the problem all over the place as we continue to stare down at our screens. And we have seen all those pictures now when you take pictures of people going out to dinner, allegedly on a date or a family, and they're all sitting around the table staring down at that little devil in their hands, a little screen. And I'm not pontificating here. I've got the same problem myself. And so today we'll talk about it, not so much in our generation, but something that I think is far more troubling. And I don't even – it's kind of hard because we have to switch context because we were not raised that way, we being people in our 40s and 50s and 60s and above, versus our young men and women that are – it's just totally normal. And Alan Hahn is with me, the CEO of Iron Academy, our good friends here in Raleigh, North Carolina, ironacademy.org. And Alan, great to see you. Thanks for coming back on.
Well, it's good to be here.
And this is a topic that's something that, you know, we're all aware of this. Like I said, we could spout off a bunch of statistics. They're certainly out there. But the reality is this is the norm. This is where we're at. And you were mentioning this before we went on the air, that kind of to boil it all down, for our generation, for people in their 40s and 50s and above, technology was a tool in our hands, and now we're in the hands of technology, it seems. But you work with these young men at Iron Academy. Why is this particular subject on your radar screen?
Well, first, when we started Iron Academy, it was because we looked around and we saw that our high schools in general were producing boys. And when I say in general, that's actually being quite nice. But our high schools produce boys. If we also looked around and we saw that most of our colleges were producing boys, not men who knew who they were in Christ or even what it meant to be a man, but boys. And the unfortunate truth is that most women are marrying boys, not men, and they're hoping they will become men very soon. Sometimes they do. Sometimes it takes quite a while. When we started Iron Academy, one of the things we did, because we wanted to build men, is we had rites of passage, which every successful culture has had rites of passage. We do not in this country. So we started having our rite of passage, and the point being to create young men who knew who they were as participants in society, how to build community. Over the years, it's become increasingly obvious as our screen time has increased, as different social media have demanded more and more attention by they're really remarkable algorithms and their purpose for being.
And yeah, you can run, but you can't hide from the algorithm.
Well, in gaming, good gracious. I mean, we had Intellivision and Atari when I was a kid, and you know that wasn't very addictive. Some people struggled with it, but that was the very rare person.
Yeah.
I am thankful we didn't have when I was a kid what we have available now.
Because, truth be told, we would have the exact same problems that our young people are having today.
Yeah, people haven't changed.
Yeah, people haven't changed. If we had that when you and I were in high school or middle school, whatever, we would have struggled with it just as much. And I read some articles late last year, very in-depth articles. One was in The New Yorker, one was in The Atlantic, and they weren't political articles. Otherwise, I'd be scoffing at them. But they were looking at the fact that just about every gaming company, every social media company, all the big digital platforms all have psychologists on staff. And their whole job is to understand our behavior and then match their behavior and their platforms and their social media platforms and whatever else to get us roped in and to keep us there. The psychology, the whole thing is purposeful. It's not like, oh, this is really cool. I've got an addiction to it. No, it's designed to do that.
Yes, it's much like nicotine. They are trying to create an addiction. Some people call it electronic slot machines, renewing your Facebook page each few minutes.
Yeah. Always. And by the way, speaking of Facebook, if you want to join us on Facebook, of course,
yes.
I always say that you're probably looking at your Facebook page already. Anyway, I think that they're up to, I think maybe 4 billion users now on a monthly basis. I mean, that's more than half the population of the earth. It's really remarkable. The Steve Noble Show on Facebook, if you want to join us on Facebook Live. But what are you seeing in terms of young men that are coming to Iron Academy, which is also a Christian school and specifically for young men? How is it affecting them? How is it impacting them?
I would love to say that's not an Iron Academy issue. Everything at Iron Academy is different. Unfortunately, I can't say that with a straight face.
Yeah.
We are infected by the draw to be glued to our screens as well. And frankly, as a parent, I wish, knowing now, having my son is 20, my daughter's 18, if I could go back and re-examine how I raised them from a screen time perspective, I certainly would have done things differently.
Yeah, me too.
We didn't know what we didn't know, but knowing it now, there are things I would tell parents about what they should do differently, and definitely what I would have done differently.
Yeah, because we've been doing radio together for several years, and Iron Academy's been blessed by God and used, and it has a great facility now. It's really been remarkable. We've had some of the young men on the show. The last time we did a show, you weren't even here. We just had these three young men in the studio, and they were awesome. So you see all kinds of great results, and God is doing amazing work there. Yet, this kind of slavery and the screen time slavery, are they struggling with attention? Is it
yes,
distraction? What's the challenge?
The statistic, the new research is coming out. We're going to have a lot of research coming out over the next 5 and 10 years. One of the things that we're finding out as a society is that we are less and less capable of paying attention, of doing deep work, of really paying attention to one thing. And as our economy changes and our global economy changes and we value different things and we reward different things,
yeah,
the people who can't work intently on one thing at a time and add value will be displaced by people, whether they're in India, Bangladesh, Mexico, or wherever. So as educators – and the homeschool parents out there, one of your duties is you are preparing your sons and daughters for the future marketplace. You're not creating workers. You're creating thinkers who will also be able to excel in that marketplace. And if we can't teach them to do deep work and to pay attention to one thing at a time without being distracted, it's going to be a very difficult world.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, we had Dr. Tate Cockrell in here last Thursday on Theology Thursday, a Christian counselor. We were talking about child-centered homes and child-centered parenting, and he was using a study that showed that in terms of problem-solving, American youth is like 27, 28th in the world out of 30, but we were number one in what we thought of ourselves. Our self-image was number one, but our actual abilities was 27, 28 out of 30. Really amazing. The screen's part of the problem. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're talking to our good friend Alan Hahn, the Chief Education Officer at Iron Academy, which happens to be here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Incredible school for young men, and not just on the academic side, but especially on the biblical worldview training side and biblical manhood side. And we started off and we're talking about kind of this reality now that so many of us, and especially our younger folks, are all slaves to the screen, right? We all struggle with screen time. And we're going to talk about some ways to deal with that, not only for our younger sons and daughters, but for us and for our families, and as we work through and try to get to a positive end of this. And Alan and I both started off with this conversation earlier talking about how we wish we had done things differently with our own kids who are, entering adulthood now, college age, high school age. And it's really it's really a normal part of life. And I think you said this earlier, you just mentioned it off the air, that we didn't know what we didn't know. But I don't know that we even had we should have been more paranoid, I think. I think we should have been more nervous. And many of us, I think, just weren't.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen cultures that are more intentional than we are. I mean, we can say positive things about the Amish people and negative things, but they're being intentional is not a criticism that's valid with them. They take a look at technology, whatever it is, whether it be liquid propane or solar power, and they say how this will affect our community. That's very intelligent.
Yeah, very intelligent, and for all of us. And I think the reality is, and you mentioned this before as well, Alan, that it became a convenient thing for us. All of a sudden, we had a babysitter. We had somebody that could distract our kids, so we didn't have to. We didn't have to deal with them. We could shut them up, shut them down, stick them, park them in front of a screen, and then you can't go 30 minutes in a car without turning on a movie in the car. Now you got screens in all the cars, but now we don't even need those anymore because you're just streaming. Just about everybody has, I don't know about your family, but of course we have unlimited data on our plans for all of our smartphones, and so you don't even think about it. It's just, hey, get in the car, 20-minute drive, 10-minute drive, whatever, and odds are people are looking at screens, hopefully not the driver, but everybody else. And I think there's been repercussions there that we've seen on all different kinds of levels. So, I mean, in a school situation, though, you were talking about this earlier, really kind of attention and being able to focus and do more difficult, deep digging, I guess, for research and things like that.
Yeah, so we've made a few changes, and some people might think we're a little bit like the Luddites with this, but we've actually used less technology every year. Our technological philosophy is if it helps us to teach better and for them to learn more, then we will use it. Otherwise, we don't use it. If you have Wi-Fi and a monitor up in the room for the teacher, you've got pretty much everything you need. All of our guys have their own devices, but the truth is we use them less and less. They don't use their phones. We don't see their phones throughout the whole day. If we do, you know, they know they've got burpees and eventually monetary fines come. So we don't have that. It's an enormous distraction.
Yeah.
So we use less and less technology every year to better and better effect. Our IQ scores keep going up. So we're very comfortable with that. But one of the things we've seen nationally that we've had to address in our school is the reading comprehension scores have been plummeting at about the same time that the internet became something you didn't turn on but that was ever present.
Yeah, ubiquitous.
And screen times have changed. We believe there's correlation there. We can't prove that just yet. But as reading comprehension scores have gone down, knowing that we need to prepare young people who can tackle lots of written information on a daily basis, we've actually doubled up our English language arts training in middle school. Instead of having three classes in 6, 7, 8, we have 6 classes. Mm-hmm. So we really focus on the reading, writing, public speaking skills. And the public speaking skills really go hand in hand with the learning how to live in community and talk to one another and present to one another. The more headphone time and screen time we have, the less our young people are able to communicate voice to voice.
Yeah, here's a stat I just found. American adults spend more than 11 hours per day watching, reading, listening to, or simply interacting with media. That's a new study by Market Research Group. That's up from 9 hours and 32 minutes just 4 years ago. So it's up about 20% in 4 years. And for young people, it's even worse. I mean, it's amazing. Actual screen time. Here's another one. Common Sense Media. Teens spend an average of 9 hours a day online. Online. Compared to about 6 hours for those aged 8 to 12 and 50 minutes for kids between 0 and 8. So that's 50 minutes a day online for a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old. It's everywhere. It's all the time. It's really remarkable.
There's also some scary research about Wi-Fi and what it does to the pre-adolescent mind, the infant and the toddler. Very scary.
Yeah, and so it's just dumbing. Is it just dumbing us down and making us non-social? So we don't know how to interact with one another. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes, it is
killing the notion of community.
Yes, it is. We are losing the capacity to live in a real community. Our communities are less and less. So our young people are less and less capable of handling conflict, which is part of what living in community is about. If we can learn how to deal with one another, if you and I spend long enough time together, we're going to run into issues.
Sure.
We can either ignore them, I can walk away, or I've never had to deal with conflict because I've had a lawnmower parent, so I don't have to deal with you. I just go to another group of people, and then I go to another group of people.
Yeah, I switch schools, I switch youth groups, whatever.
Or we can be productive and learn how to deal with one another, and the Bible tells us all kinds of ways to do that. The most famous passage is Matthew 18, but there are other ways. And we have to remove the barriers to learning how to live in community. Screen time is one of those barriers.
Do you think parents of your own students at Iron Academy, and we're talking to Alan Hahn, is the chief education officer at Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. Do you think parents are aware of just how much of an impact it's had, or are they kind of waking up to it? And you probably have to make an issue of it.
We do. We're going to do actually a summer seminar series on this. But our parents at Iron Academy, they're a little bit younger than I am typically. I just went through this and made all these mistakes. I would go back and then fix them. So I will be sharing these things with them. Generally speaking, our parents are, well, by nature, if you send your son to an all-male school focused on biblical manhood, you're a little bit different.
Yeah.
And they are more intentional.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean our young men don't struggle with this screen time issue too.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about the content of the screen time. We're just talking about time looking at a screen in general. You want to talk about content, of course, porn is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Now you've got men in their early 20s experiencing erectile dysfunction. In their early 20s. That's like on the rise right now, almost getting to epidemic levels, simply because pornography rewires the brain and creates all that addiction that we know about. It's as addictive as heroin and most other hard drugs. It's the same thing. And so that it's so pervasive. But I don't think now it's a matter. It's a fact of life. We all know that's the deal. You mentioned the Amish. You mentioned Mennonites, and where sometimes I sit there and go, well, that's actually pretty tempting. We're not. Most of us aren't going to go there. So we have to learn how to adjust and how to deal with it now. It's a part of life, and we need to be able to manage it. So kind of where do you start? You mentioned starting at Iron Academy. They don't have their phones during the day. Is that the deal?
Right. They have to go in their lockers at the beginning of the day. They don't get them out until the end of the day.
Now, how did that go over the first time you did that?
We actually didn't have a problem with that. No. It doesn't mean we don't have people who occasionally try to sneak it. But
right, because we got to get our fix, right?
Yeah. Or for whatever reason, they might have it out during the day. They get busted. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
But they're doing fine. They adjusted quickly. Life goes on. They're growing. They're maturing.
Yes. Burpees will cure almost anything.
Yes. I can imagine that would, that there's a price to pay there for indulging your addiction. But and then, of course, you talked about, now, how do you use technology? Because when come back from the break, I want to talk about kind of helping all of us try to break this addiction. But how do you use technology at Iron Academy?
Well, we only use it when it helps us, again, teach better or to help them to learn more. But more, I would talk about how do I use it in my life. I downloaded an app called Stay Focused, and I really took it a good examination of how I was using my screen time.
Okay, yeah. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Of course, we use an app to solve our screen time problems, which is just classic. But I want to ask you about that. Then we'll talk about, okay, what can we do as individuals, as adults, for our sons and daughters, as families? How can we begin to break this addiction to screen time, or at least manage it well? We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble. Great to be with you today on the Steve Noble Show. My friend Alan Hahn is in here today, the Chief Education Officer for Iron Academy, which is just an outstanding school for young men here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And if you want to check that out, it's a great model. It should really be all over the country. We'll see what the Lord does with that. But ironacademy.org, because biblical manhood is never an accident, and that is a big part of what they do there, is to develop young biblical followers of Jesus Christ, plus an outstanding academic environment and learning how to live in community and pull your weight. As a matter of fact, I just ordered 25 bales of pine straw from Iron Academy before we went live today. And these young men will actually show up and install it for me. Is that correct?
Yes, and they'll do it as deep as you want.
That's a beautiful thing. I've never had anybody put pine straw in for me, but for Iron Academy, I'll definitely sit back and watch.
Thank you.
So that'll be cool. Excited for that. Talking about kind of all of us struggle with this addiction to screen time. And what was the name of the app you were just talking about?
The one I use is called Stay Focused.
Okay, so Stay Focused is an app. You install it on your phone, and you secretly install it on everybody else's phone in your family. And then it allows you to monitor, right, what you're doing, what you're opening, and what kind of things have you learned about your own screen time?
Well, I know that I use texting the most. I use, of all the apps, I use Facebook the least. And that's by purpose. That has changed in the last month. I've been very careful about that. And since I started tracking, I've been doing well with that.
Nothing like a little reality to sober us up.
Yes, and knowing that I'm tracking myself. I mean, if I look in there and I look at Facebook and it has 12 hours, which is not uncommon. If the average adult is using over 35 minutes a day, well, we have some super user out there who are on 6 and 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
At least you have the self awareness. I know that I use texting a lot. I use my notes. And as I talked about over the break, it looks like Amazon shopping and Chrome are two of my biggest things. But I am still using my phone as a phone. I see that. And Maps, apparently, is something I rely on a lot, too.
Yeah, but that's a real eye-opener to begin to look at, okay, what am I doing on my phone? Because if you're spending 4 hours a day on Facebook, I can guarantee you you're not as productive as you should be. You're probably coveting more than you should be. You might be more prideful than you should be. All kinds of other stuff. There's really not a whole lot of upsides to a lot of these things. It's just this massive distraction. And I think, ultimately, if I'm going to think biblically here, as I should all the time, I go back to Paul, who said he'd learned to be content. I've learned to be content. with such things that I have, be it much or be it little. If the Apostle Paul, Super Paul, had to learn to be contentment, to learn to be content, it's not an easy thing to achieve. And I think we're in this. We have to be responsible, which is why I like the fact that you're talking about that app. What's the name of that app again?
Stay Focused.
Stay Focused. To look at what we're doing with these technologies that we have at our disposal. And for most of us, it's the smartphone, which is really only about 11 years old. 12 years ago, we didn't have smartphones. All of a sudden, boom, we get iPhone, and now we're up to iPhone 10. They get a new one every year, of course. But we have to realize what, you know, the question is, it's asked like David, Lord, you know, search my heart and reveal in me any unclean and wicked thing. Why do I have such a desire to be distracted? Why do I waste so much time? Well, we're not nearly as efficient as we used to be, and this is a problem. And so kind of let's turn the corner, Alan, and I'm glad we're talking about it today. What can we do about this? Like, what are some practical things that we can do to begin to control our screen addiction?
All right. So one, get a grasp of what you're doing, what you're spending your time on. But I think first and foremost, we have to decide who we want to be. We have to have a philosophy for everything. If the things in our lives are keeping us from achieving that goal, this is for secular people, this is for Christians, decide who we want to be and whether, Cal Newport, he wrote a book called Digital Minimalism, which is one of the books we'll go through the reading seminar this summer. He suggests a digital philosophy for everybody, and he also suggests a digital detox, a 30-day detox of all screen time, and he gives you plans for how to do that. But if we need to decide what it is we want, where we want to go, and then get control of our lives. But if we have children or young people out there, as you are getting ready to get married or getting ready to have children, you need to find somebody of like mind. If I had it all over again for my children, I would say no screens before they're 12 years old. No screens.
Yeah, zero.
That includes the TV screen, though. The TV used to be the center of our attention when we talked about this. The TV is almost irrelevant to the lives of the youngest people.
Yeah.
Unless it's using Netflix, but they get that through other. TV is no longer the major issue. So if we do no screens until 12 and they grow up in a natural world and they have to interact with that world, they'll be infinitely better off than their peers. In their future, they will be the bright shining stars. If you are pregnant now and having those, so don't do the screens and don't let kids see you using your screens. Use your technology as a tool. Don't let it use you.
The reality is we're all going to face backlash for that.
Yes.
Because people are going to think you don't let your kids do this, you don't let your kids do that. They're going to feel condemned by that, first of all, which is probably not your point. I know it isn't, but they're going to feel that way anyway.
Find a community to do this with you. This is going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult.
If you're a parent, you are prior to giving your kids a smartphone, don't give them the smartphone. Give them a dumb phone whenever it's needed. You know, we have reasons that we might want
to. Yeah, you can get a dumb phone where they can call you, they can text you.
Yes.
And that's enough.
And I would do that until they graduate, until they're 17, 18. But that is that's a gateway for all kinds of. We talked about the pornography, the smartphones. We didn't see these. Well, I didn't see these dangers coming, but they're presenting too much information too readily for everybody.
Well, that's one of the things when I've been working on a couple of new podcasts that we're going to launch that are separate from the show. And one of them involves in-depth, longer hour and a half conversations with college students and people in their 20s. One topic and a long conversation. And so I've been done that 6 or 7 times with college students, usually 5, 6, 7 of them at a time. And what you're finding, one of them said, not a believer, I think he was 18 or 19. He said, we have way more information. I mean, I know your generation thinks we're stupid, but we have way more information at our fingertips than you guys ever did when you were 18 or 19, when you were our age. And I said, yeah, that's true. But is that necessarily a good thing? And then he stopped and he's thinking, we had a conversation. I said, what's one thing that I necessarily have more of because I'm 53 and you're 19? And he said, experience? I said, yeah, okay, so that's important, experience. What comes along with knowledge and experience? What else accumulates there? Wisdom? Right. So can you see how having a ton of information coming at you but with no effective filter or no wisdom to deal with all of that can create a problem? And he goes, yeah, I can see that. And once you had a conversation, he figured it out. But that's so true. We're just drowning in it, and you don't have a way to discern right from wrong.
Well, so as families, our prime – and this is an Andy Crouch quote. This is not mine. But he said one of the principal job of a family is to build persons, you know, to build our young people.
Yeah.
We are abdicating that authority, and we're allowing technology to build our young people. That is a scary thing. technology needs to be a tool, not we're becoming the tool.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's, I mentioned this to you earlier, and I've used this on the show many, many times. If you're like a five-star golden Christian, right? So you go to church on Sunday morning, you go to Sunday school, back Sunday night for youth group, you're back Wednesday night for Wednesday night supper and Bible study then. So that's 4 hours a week, kindergarten through 12th grade. It's 2,400 hours. Okay. That's awesome. Gold star Christian, right? No doubt about it. Same amount of time, kindergarten through 12th grade. Education, be it private, be it at a school like Iron Academy, be it at a public school, whatever. That's about 16,000 hours, kindergarten through 12th grade. Kindergarten through 12th grade, popular media, screens, another 16,000 hours. So you got 16,000 hours of media via screens and 2,400 hours in church if you're a Gold Star Christian. And the numbers just don't go in your favor. And I think we have to get far more serious about the realities that comes with that. It's like Ben Shapiro always says, facts don't care about your feelings. Neither does math.
Yeah. We're going to have a lost generation of young people. You mentioned the snowflakes earlier, and I do believe that's a manifestation of all the screen time, because they're not learning how to live in community with one another. They can't handle the conflict. So when the wrong president gets elected, they shrink up into a ball and need safe rooms. I don't know what's going to happen. We often talk about our millennials, right? Because the millennials are different than we are. And, you know, we were different from the baby boomers. The millennials aren't suffering to the same extent as this. This is the brand new generation. This is the I generation. We are going to see some serious effects of this. The millennials will be making fun of the I generation soon.
enough. That's always the way it goes. We're talking to Alan Hahn from Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. By the way, if you're here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, enrolling now for the fall semester, the next school year, building exceptionally educated and biblically grounded young men who are maximally developed for a life of leadership, self-discipline, and service. And that simply is impossible unless we get a handle on our screen time problem. Would you agree with that, or am I being too old-fashioned?
It takes time. Yeah. Time with people, not electronic time.
So as individuals, so it's kind of no way whatsoever by the time they're 12. Smartphone, iPhone, maybe by the time somewhere in high school. They have to have the maturity about it. I wouldn't put a hard, fast number on it, but they're going to have to be pretty mature to handle that. And you're going to have to train them to be ready.
A parent's going to have to be pretty mature about it. This is a difficult thing.
Yeah, because we're leading by example, right?
Yes. And if I'd been a more mature parent, maybe I wouldn't have gotten the DVD player in the minivan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but we all did it.
So now that I've gone through this stage, I can preach at younger parents and expect them to do the things that I didn't do. But if I could have it over again, I certainly would do it differently. And we're seeing the very negative results of not doing it differently.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So when I come back, I want to talk about kind of family in general. How do we begin to turn the tide there? Because I've experienced it. You've probably experienced it. We can drive 8 hours in a day and maybe talk for 30 minutes because everybody's looking at their screens. Hopefully not Dad when he's driving. But occasionally I get busted for this. Dad, put your phone down. Dad, put your phone down. We don't want to die. Oh, yeah, thanks for the reminder. Talking about our addiction to screens with Alan Hahn.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on.
Welcome back with Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to our good friend Alan Hahn, who is the CEO of Iron Academy, ironacademy.org, which if you have any young men in your house or up and coming, if they're a little bit younger, starting at sixth grade, and you want to get them into a situation where they're not only going to get an excellent education, but also learn how to be men. You always talk about this, Alan. You opened up with this, that we're producing boys, and women are being forced to marry boys in their 20s, and that's a massive problem because biblical manhood isn't something that you just get because you go to church. You have to be trained. You have to be led into that, and it takes time, like you guys always say, and it's not an accident. It has to be done intentionally, and here's one of our biggest problems. We're talking about this today is our addiction to our screens, and Alan and I were just talking off the air, which is never off the air if you're with us on Facebook Live, speaking of screens. So if you want to go there because you're there already, just jump over to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook and you can join us here in the studio. But you said, you know, I feel like a big hypocrite just talking about this. And so do I. And I would venture to guess that 99% of the people involved in this conversation right now are hypocrites, too. I think just about all of us have done a bad job of this.
Yes, it sneaks up on you. Well, by design, if we're not wary, everything about these social media platforms is designed to suck us in.
Everything. Yeah, that's just the reality of it. And so before, where the government waged war on the cigarette industry, right? Because nicotine is highly addictive. It's, cigarettes are really bad for you. And they went after that. We're right there now. We know it about pornography. We're learning it, and I think most people know it about screen time. Even though we might not have all the stats that we need yet, it's happening. And all you got to do is go to a restaurant. Sit around with family. Listen, I was with family in Philadelphia over the weekend, and when we were hanging out, and this is myself, my three siblings, my mother, my dad's in heaven now, and we were up there for a fundraiser for my sister. I was the MC on Saturday. But when we were hanging out together, I don't see once a year, once every other year, I'll be with all my siblings and now with my mother at the same time. And you still saw, grab your computer, grab your iPad, grab your iPhone. We still did it. And we hardly ever see each other. And that to me sounds like lack, at least on my part, lack of love, lack of attention. But I also think the reality is that there is some serious addiction going on there. And like you said, and I mentioned this earlier, I read a couple of huge articles late last year that showed that all these social media companies, gaming companies, they all have behavioral psychologists on staff, full-time staff, to design the systems to pull us in and keep us in.
What if we're losing the ability to communicate meaningful ways with one another?
Yeah.
Where's our society going to be headed if we do that? And no, that sounds alarmist, but that's where we're going.
Yeah, but that's where we're going, and then we become more isolationist, which is exactly what we see in the country right now, because we don't have the ability to communicate with one another, so our divides get deeper and wider because we don't know how to work through anything. We just unfriend. I only watch the news that I want to watch. I do confirmation bias all the time. So we just isolate, and we don't learn how to live with your neighbor. I mean, the days of, hey, let's just agree to disagree, that's pretty much dead because nobody knows how to communicate.
And I don't know how to fix all that. I do know that part of it will involve releasing ourselves from electronic servitude. The screen time, the technology, we've got to reclaim it as a tool, not to be used by it. I would even recommend some other things I would have done differently with family.
Yeah. Let's talk about family.
Let's say you have the typical American house where you have your living space downstairs and your sleeping space upstairs. No electronics upstairs.
Yeah.
In fact, I might even, if I had it all over again, I might only do plug-in internet instead of Wi-Fi. Now, obviously, there are ways around that with phones, but if you don't have smartphones in your house, you don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you get the more
well, there's something that we bought and haven't used it enough. It's called Circle. I don't know if Disney, I don't know who, but Circle controls your Wi-Fi, and you can literally shut down everybody's access to your Wi-Fi at 11 p.m. or whatever. You just take out access; it's gone. You can do that. I mean, there's tools out there if we bother.
Good. I'll have to look into that too.
Yeah. See that, yeah. But that's what that one's called is Circle. But again, we used to do this. We haven't done it in a while. We're rolled to, you mentioned this earlier, a screen fast, which meant as a family, when we're home, not during the day, but we come home, no TV, no MacBook, no smartphones, and we would just spend time together. We'd usually play cards, or we'd watch, we'd play board games. And we'd do that for a week. And when we announced that, oh, man, that's like a mutiny on the Bounty. It's going to be trouble. But that's the things as a family where we have to reconnect and actually learn how to live with one another.
Do the fast. I would do this too, and I largely do this now. 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year. No electronics. The most relaxing week I have every year is when we go off to foraging camp, which was for our ninth graders. We do survival school for a week. We're in the middle of the Jefferson National Forest. I'm sleeping in a shelter that I made. I'm sleeping on bedding that I made out of leaves and forest detritus.
And whatever.
And there's no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
There's no electricity. Yeah. There's no cell coverage.
Wow.
And if I can't go do anything. And it's the most freeing week. We have God time around the campfires. And, you know, the guys are learning skills with their survival knives and firecraft and waters. But it's the most relaxing week of the year. It's like it's a digital detox for me. And when we go on vacations, I want places. I'm already making arrangements this year where I don't have to take my phone, or I'll check it. I'll check the WhatsApp in case there are any emergencies once a day, and that's it.
And the world continued to rotate while you were off the grid for a week.
Yes.
So you're saying 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year.
Yes.
No screens.
Right.
So Monday through Friday, pick your hour. Can't be when you're asleep.
Hopefully dinner time with your family.
What a great point. And then do nothing. All screens are off. Yeah, that's a great point. And then 1 day a week, no screens at all. Maybe it's Sunday, the day of rest, which would make sense. And then 1 week a year, no screens, period. Take it off. Whether you go on vacation or whatever, that would be kind of nice.
And screens don't go to bed with you.
Right. Leave everything downstairs.
When you go to bed, you turn them back on. Now, obviously, there are some exceptions. When you have a young teen driver and they're out.
Sure.
So there are exceptions, of course. Technology is a tool at that point.
Yeah. Well, Evan, my intern and my production assistant, just put this on Facebook Live. He's reading through the book Alone Together by Sherry Turkle. It takes a look at the stress and anxiety levels of teens caused by technology by behavioral psychologists. Very interesting read. I'm sure of that. And we need to get awake to the fact that this is not having zero impact. It's having a huge impact.
It is. The same author, Sherry Turkle, also proposed the 7-minute rule. She said, all right, she was finding that she couldn't really develop real conversation. She wouldn't know if that conversation was going to get interesting until she was 7 minutes into it. Mm. She said, all right, if I can't have more than a 7-minute conversation with somebody, it's not a real conversation.
Right.
And so I was going to propose actually a 1-4-7 rule. For every minute you spend on social media, dedicate 4 times that amount of time to spend in voice-to-voice conversations uninterrupted by media. And make sure those conversations are at least 7 minutes in length so that you get to real, meaty, meaningful conversations.
Yeah. And we talk about job situation and getting trained and going off to college and all of that. And I mentioned this earlier. And I tell all my students every year, I said, if you guys become good communicators, learn how to get involved with speech and debate, get involved with public speaking, and learn how to write, you're gonna catapult past most of your peers because they're just using their opposable thumbs and 140 characters and less and sloppy communication and minimal communication on social media. One of the upsides of all of this, there's some tremendous opportunities available.
Yes.
If you're going to conquer this and begin to live above it.
The truer these stereotypes are of our young people, the more exceptional our different people will be. So if we can train people who aren't confined to these stereotypes, the world is their oyster.
Yeah, that's a great point. And somebody else on Facebook Live was mentioning, I had heard this before, the TechWise Family, which I've heard that's a great
wonderful
book.
That's Andy Crouch, yes.
That's Andy Crouch. Okay, the TechWise Family. Evan, throw that up on Facebook, just a link there at Amazon, the TechWise Family, which is so important. And then what have you seen as you guys have done a good job at Iron Academy at kind of managing screen time for the young men that are there learning and going to school? What kind of changes do you see in the young people that begin to do this well?
So, and I would invite anybody to come see one of our daily student-led convocations. You can show up any morning, school morning, at roughly 9:10. Watch the guys interact. You get to meet them afterwards. But the thing that's different, and I will say it's a different thing at Iron Academy because we force them to resolve conflict, they love one another. Mm-hmm. They don't always like one another well, but they love one another. And they know how to resolve their conflicts. So all that the list you just gave, the people who can communicate, they are going to excel. But even more so, those who can resolve conflict and operate successfully in a situation with lots of conflict, they're going to flourish.
Yeah.
But if you were to watch our guys who are not dependent on screens all the time, they know how to interact with one another. That's what discipleship is.
Yeah, it is.
Bonhoeffer said that's one of the great presents we have from Christ, who created us, is to put us in community with one another and to teach us all the lessons about ourselves. Because if everybody were like me, it would be a horrendous place to live. But the fact, because we're all different, that's what makes it difficult. But we learn how to live in community with one another.
What a beautiful point, which is really the epicenter of our lives as Christians. It should be in proper community with our Lord and Savior, in proper community with one another. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Lines up perfectly. Give us a real quick update about Iron Academy this school year, and tell us about opportunities for people here in Raleigh going into the fall of this year.
So we had record growth last enrollment season. This enrollment season is looking very good. We're bringing in new 6th graders. We have rooms for 7th, some in 9th and 10th. But things are going well. Our first graduating class, every one of them, more prepared for marriage than I was at 25. I'm not proposing they get married anytime soon. But you know what? Working with the family, the church, and Iron Academy, it's a better way to build men.
Oh, man. Well, it's a biblical way. And the biblical way works every time it's tried.
Amen.
Which is so awesome. IronAcademy.org if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. If you live elsewhere, we're on in 12 other states, and you're like, man, I wish we had an Iron Academy in our city. Well, dream big and pray big. Alan did. That started 13, 14, 15 years ago, and here it is a reality today, and I'm sure he would love to talk to you. IronAcademy.org is the website, especially if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area. Alan Hahn, thanks for being in here. Always great to have you.
Thank you, Steve.
God bless. Welcome. Thank you. All right, friends, that's it. The Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.